Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Encourage you. I know it's so easy to watch in your pajamas. I hope you didn't do that. I hope you're out of your bed. I hope you're in your living room. I mean, I'd rather you get it any way you can get it. However, I'd love for you to get up and wipe the sleep out your eyes, put on some deodorant, brush your teeth. Your wife's going to appreciate that. And let's dive into the Word. And while we're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to wish my wife, who's in the building today, I want to wish her a very happy 35th birthday. It was a little bit different at the Fender House on Friday for her birthday, but we wish her a very happy birthday. And we promised her that April 27th, because it was March 27th, we're just going to push her birthday out a month. If they did it for Fiesta, we can do it for Mandy's birthday, and we're going to party like it's 1999. Y'all remember that? Partying like it's 1999. It's amazing. In 1999, we were scared about Y2K, and now it's just something in the distance, and we're looking back saying, man, it wasn't that bad. I want to encourage you. I'm going to keep saying this until somebody gets it. You're going to make it to the other side. And you're going to look back at this. You're going to see in the rearview mirror, you're going to say, wow, God, you brought me through it. And all of that panic, all of those thousands of rolls of toilet paper, I don't know what to do with it now. We're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, God, you brought us through. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 is our second message in the series, Fear Nothing, Faith Everything. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, this is Paul talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in you also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Paul reminds Timothy in this second letter, and he says, three things I want to tell you. Number one, I'll remind you that you are a man of faith. To everybody that's watching me here today, you are a person of faith. Let me remind you, you've got faith. You say, well, I'm not a believer. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, every person has a measure of faith. But I'm talking to believers here that need to start acting like believers, because a lot of believers the last 10 or 12 days have been acting and talking and walking like unbelievers. So I'm talking to those of you to remind you that you've had an encounter with God, that the day that you said yes to Jesus, he came and he sat down on the throne of your heart. And because Jesus sits on the throne of your life, you should be, you can be. It's available to you to operate in faith. So like Paul to Timothy, I'm reminding somebody, you are a person of faith. You have faith. And if you have faith, by God, you have enough. So your faith today is the number one thing that I want to remind you, just like Paul did to Timothy. The second thing I want to remind you is that you've got a gift that when you combine it with that faith, it does amazing things, and you need to stir up the gift. See, if Paul could have stirred up the gift, he would have. But he said, Timothy, there's some things that I can do for you, but there's some things that you can only do for yourself. Now, I want to encourage somebody today that you've been watching the news and you're waiting for the stimulus package to hit your doorstep, but guess what? If you're not careful, the stimulus money will go just like that. 60 days from now, you'll be looking for the next. You'll be looking for the next stimulus help. You'll be looking for the next resource. You'll be looking for somebody else to help you, but I want to encourage you. I know you've got a gift on the inside of you. I know that you can stir up your own gift, meaning you don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't have to wait, well, if I could just get back to Living Way, when are they going to open up their doors? I don't know when we're going to open up our doors again, but I want to tell you, you can have church any day, any time, by remembering I am a person of faith, fear does not live here, and I'm going to stir up my gift. And then the third thing he reminds them is, remember, God has not given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He begins talking about, remember, you have faith. And then he reminds him that fear that keeps trying to come in, don't let that fear take place, because you can only be fearful or you can only be faithful. Last session, we talked about the very basis for expectation, the very basis for faith is you have to believe this, that God is good and he only does good. I have seen so much bad theology the last week that God has sent this virus as a judgment. God has not sent this virus as a judgment. The devil sent this virus to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. God is not trying to teach us a lesson. God does not try to do anything. God does. God said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. The first thing you need to realize if you're watching us today is you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very easy to get that relationship. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth who Jesus is. You ask him to be the Lord of your life and forgive you of all your sins. And boom, you are a believer. Faith now cannot reside in you. Now you can live that life of faith. And once you become a believer, listen, it changes your outlook or should change your outlook on everything. But I'm not blaming God. I'm putting the blame on the right person. That devil has been working overtime the last month or two in our world. But I am here to tell you, when the devil comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. And God's standard is always at least 2 feet higher than the flood. God's standard is always bigger. God's standard is always greater. God's standard is always stronger. God's standard is always covered with anointing. And when the devil comes in like a flood, you can guarantee that God's coming in right after him to make sure that what the devil has planned does not come to pass. Somebody type amen. Never thought I'd say that. We talked about fear and faith cannot coexist. Faith is like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. You cannot be a little fearful and a little faithful. That's where we've gotten off track, because we think that if I have a little bit of faith that I can have a little bit of fear and everything. And I've heard other people post and say, it's okay to be scared. It's never okay to be scared, because if you're okay to be scared, then it means you're okay with a gift that God didn't give you. Remember, he didn't give you fear. He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. We talked about fear is faith in the wrong thing. That now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things dreaded. For by it, Hebrews 11:2, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. So if we put fear in for faith, by fear the immature obtained a bad report. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that faith made things that which do appear out of things which do not appear. That means fear can do the same thing. You can faith the good things into your life, or you can fear the bad things into your life. And you've only got about 100 years on this earth, and so you better make sure that every word you're speaking is faith. You better make sure every thought you're speaking, you say, well, I keep having these bad thoughts. The Bible says take every thought into captivity. Once I take those fear thoughts into captivity, I unleash faith. I loose faith into my life, and once faith starts and establishes, then fear cannot stay. Let's continue on. I want to go to Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll spend our time here this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is where we'll start. To give you just a little bit of history on this, Philippians is what we call one of the prison epistles. It was written by Paul, and it was written from prison. So the context that is given raises the bar of the content. Understand this. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he wasn't talking about losing 5 pounds. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he wasn't talking about raising a toddler in the terrible twos, driving you nuts. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he was in prison. He was in stocks. He was bound. He had been beaten. He did not know if he would ever see freedom again. And while other people are figuring out ways that they're going to break out, while other people are planning their own demise and thinking about committing suicide while they're in custody, Paul, as we know, is a different kind of prisoner. Because in one instance in Acts, Paul is a praiser in prison with Silas. But in this instance, he says, I think I'll write a book of the New Testament while I'm in prison. And so the context of where Paul is gives greater value to the content that he is about to share with us. Verse 4, chapter 4, Philippians. Now we're going to talk about some steps on how to not live in fear and how to live in faith. No, fear nothing, faith everything. Verse 4, chapter 4, Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you're taking notes, the number one thing you need to do to live a life of faith and not fear is you've got to learn to get your praise on no matter what. At any point in your life, your praise should be loud, and in these moments should be louder. It should be greater. When we look at the word rejoice, the root word of rejoice is joy. So when we see rejoice in the Lord always, we see it equals always have joy. Now, it's difficult in the climate that we're living in to have joy all the time. You watch the news. It's hard to have joy when you're watching Fox and CNN, and they're just giving their spin, and they're giving you all kinds of bad news. Sometimes it's hard to have joy when your employer looks at you and says, we're not going to be able to keep you on through the shutdown, or we're not going to be able to pay you, and then you've got a mortgage, or you just moved into a new house, and your kids have been sent home from school, and you didn't realize that you were going to have to be home with all four kids for 24 hours a day, and all of the craziness. It's in those moments where when we hear Paul say, always have joy, we realize if Paul could write to always have joy in prison, then where I am pales in comparison. And what I'm going through, I know that there's people that are going through and this is hitting them harder than it's hitting other people, but I want to encourage you to always have joy. If that wasn't enough, Paul goes on to say, again, I say rejoice. He said, always have joy. And then he says, rejoice again. Meaning there's somebody that has had their joy stolen from them, and it's time that you get your joy back. Because when you get your joy back and you begin to praise God, come on, when you saw this team up here, you couldn't have told if it was 2 years ago, if it was 2 months ago. Why? Because they weren't focused on the situation. They were focused on their God. They were praising in the midst of pandemonium. They were worshiping while everybody else was worrying. And when they praise God after everything said and done and they walk off the stage, they feel a little bit better about the situation. They feel like, man, I came in here a little heavy, but now I'm leaving a little lighter. Nothing changed in the circumstance, but what changed was their outlook and perspective that my praise, come on now, I'm going to preach myself happy. The praise changes your perspective, and praise gives you joy when there's no reason to have joy, because joy is not determined by what you're going through. Joy is determined by what you are connected to. Talking to somebody. He said, always have joy. Then he backs up and says, for those that have lost joy, get your joy back. The last 10 days, I'm talking to somebody. Now, the last 10 days, you've been depressed. Suicide is on the uptick. People are worried about how they're going to make ends meet. People are worried about mortgages. The problems in people's lives 6 weeks ago have now been exacerbated by what we're going through. And so marriages that were having a tough time are having a really tough time. Children now are having a really, and so everything around us seems to be growing darker. But this is the moment that we as believers shine brighter, because my faith is not affected by what's going on. Why? Because I've got a joy that is literally coming from me. And see, a lot of us are I hear this a lot. You've heard me preach this before, but somebody that's watching has never heard this. There's a lot of us that confuse happiness with joy. There's a lot of times that I'm not happy, but I'm still joyful, full of joy. Happiness is determined by happening. Meaning the right thing has to be happening around you for you to be happy. And I'm not downplaying happiness at all. There is great moments of happy in your life. If you don't believe it, watch the Pharrell video. Everybody's happy in the happy video. But in times like this, people got big frowns on their faces, if you can even see their face behind their mask. You're looking around, and even though the nation has come together, help, serve, and to be neighborly and loving, you can still look beyond the smile and the filter and the fakeness, gas pumps in line at HEB. You can see people scared. People have lost their happiness. Sports are gone. Movies are being delayed. In Texas, Fiesta has been postponed. I mean, it is like Fiesta and then the rapture in those order. We're going to have Fiesta, then we're going to be raptured. So people are their happiness has been affected. But see, if happiness is determined by happenings, you realize that joy is determined by your relationship and who you're connected to. Nehemiah 8:10 says this: the joy of the Lord, oh my gosh, is my strength. So understand this, that when I'm connected to God, and I love this, it's not my joy. It's His joy. Do you think God's joy has changed because of COVID-19? Do you think God's joy has changed because of the government shutdown and everybody that has lost? Do you think God's joy has shifted at all in the moment of calamity? God's joy is the same. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you understand that God's joy is unchanging, it never changes, and then you realize that it's not my joy that brings strength, but the joy of the Lord is my strength, then that means no matter what's going on around me, that's why we can praise in the middle of it all. And we're not naive, we're not ignorant, we're not dumb. We just know that I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. That I'm in the world, but I know who holds the world in His hand. And let me tell you that my joy does not come from people, does not come from news, good or bad, does not come from my joy comes from God. His joy, my strength. My praise, His presence. When I praise, here He comes with His presence. And with His presence, He brings everything that I need. And one of those things, you got to get your joy back. Paul said, let me tell you something. If you are going to live joyful, if you are going to live in faith, if you are going to rise above fear, you've got to tap back into your joy and say, I'm not going to let 6 months in 2020 affect the next 60 years of my life. I'm not going to let one moment of my life unravel and bleed into every other season of my life. This too shall pass, but faith and faith-filled people are going to grow, are going to mature, and I believe on the other side, I'm coming out taller, I'm coming out stronger, I'm coming out more anointed. Devil, you picked the wrong group of people. All you did was shut our doors and turn us loose. We are loose on the streets. We are loose in our world, and we're bringing joy back with us. Somebody say amen.
Woo!
Bringing joy back is important. Bringing joy back is important. Get your praise back. We're not living based on happenings and happiness. We're living based on joy. Too many people are giving the enemy prime time in their life. Just scroll through Facebook. Prime time, the enemy. Prime time. I watched some live stream. I have less faith after hearing some of these preachers talk about the virus than I had before I started watching. That should not be so. Every time you tune in, every time you click a mouse, every time you press a button on your smartphone to pull up Living Way, you're not going to get bad news. You're going to get the good news. You're going to hear that God is still sitting on His throne. You're going to hear that God is still in control. You're going to hear that God is still looking for a people that will humble themselves. And when we humble ourselves and call on His name, He will hear our cry. Come on now. He will heal our land. He will forgive our sins. I'm here to tell you that God is still in the miracle-working business. And just like in the book of Acts, wouldn't it be awesome if God healed your cancer in your kitchen? Wouldn't it be good if God supplied your needs on you in your living room? Wouldn't it be awesome if we found out that when we come back together in the building, that we're going to be high-fiving like the nation of Israel, saying, look at what the Lord has done. In the period of darkness that everybody else was going through, I'm living under the blood. I put the blood over my doorpost, and it's kept me and my family. Somebody say yes. Let's go to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 6 indicts a lot of people's prayers, and it shows us why a lot of prayers are not answered. When we have prayer meeting at Living Way, I'm a walker. Like it, the TV told me, you guys told me, man, you rock back and forth while you're preaching on this online, because usually, like, I'm over there, and I'm preaching this whole platform, but I know I'm preaching to an audience right here behind this screen and the few that are here today, so I'm keeping, but I rock back and forth. But when I pray, I'm a walker, so I walk. When we have nights of prayer, I'm walking all of the balcony up and down. I hardly ever stand still. And part of it is just because that's the kind of energy I have all the time. But the other part of it is because I'm like Abraham. Every place I put my foot, I'm praying and I'm possessing. I'm taking, and it's a spiritual application of my life. But one of the things that is very disappointing as a pastor and a believer is I'm walking up and down and I hear people's prayers. Because some of us pray really quietly. Some of us pray really boldly. And then some of us pray so loud and so negative that I just want to dismiss you and say, go home. Those prayers aren't working. It goes something like this. Oh, Jesus. Oh, gee, our world is in a mess. I know you're here, God, but man, it doesn't feel like you're close. Lord, let me feel your touch again. God, speak to me. Oh, all of... Instead, it should sound like, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. You are a good God who does good all of the time. You are worthy to be praised. There is no one like you. And I come in all power and authority. And I'm quoting this word and I'm quoting that word. And I'm reminding God, I know what your word says. I know the promises that are available to me as a believer. I'm standing on those promises. I will see those promises performed. And so I want to encourage you, when you read verse 6, it teaches you in a very succinct way how you should pray. The first thing it says is, be careful for nothing. That is not a suggestion, it is a command. One translation says, be anxious for nothing. I just stretched my hand towards the screen right now. Anxiety has to go in Jesus' name. Anxiety has ruled your life for far too long. Anxiety, mom, has affected your decision-making. Anxiety, Dad, has stumped and retarded the growth of family and what God has called you to do. I come against anxiety in Jesus' name. You will never be anxious another moment of your life. You will be ruled by faith. You will walk in faith. You will talk in faith. And Paul commands us by God, do not be anxious about. Don't be anxious. Don't worry, one translation. Come on now, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. You can't do both. And a lot of these worrisome prayers are never answered. And then we blame God. God hasn't heard me. God has not done what I wanted him to do. It's because you prayed some anxious, doubt-filled, worry-filled prayer and you expected God to move. No, those were birthed in fear. But when you pray in faith and when you listen, praise was our first one. Second is prayer. The way that you pray and talk to God in these moments are going to build faith in your life. Or if you don't pray the right way, or perhaps you're not praying at all, fear has a foothold in your life. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't fear anything. Don't doubt anything. These are commands. They are not suggestions. Pray about everything. Then he goes on to say, with thanksgiving, let your request be known. When you request, there's two types of requests you make for God, from God. You are requesting something that you don't have. Or you are requesting deliverance from something that you're in that you don't want to be. In both of those situations, they are a form of lack. Paul says when we pray, we got to pray with praise. See, a lot of us pray that woe is me. Like, I can't make it another day unless you show up, Jesus. Jesus needs somebody to operate in faith and say, God, I've got a thorn in my flesh. I need you to take it out of my flesh. But if this thorn is still there on Monday morning when I wake up, my faith is still going to be focused on you. I'm still going to go about the Father's business. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to worship you. Come on now. You've got to do what it takes. You've got to. And so we said, when you pray, don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. And with your petitions, you've got to use thanksgiving. I'm talking to somebody right now. You've got to praise in the middle of your pain. When you are asking God for something you don't have, you got to praise him like you already have it. When you are asking God to deliver you from something or take something out of you, healing, whatever it may be, you got to praise God like it's already happened. That's why when you pray, I don't pray my will. I pray things like, God, in your word, it says, by your stripes, I am healed. God, I thank you for my healing. That's how a prayer sounds when it's not prayed in fear. Prayer should never be initiated by fear. prayer should always be initiated by faith, because prayer brings God to where we are with praise. And if God is there, fear cannot stay. Fear nothing, faith everything. I praise. My joy comes from God. I'm not leaning to men. Let me tell you where I'm at personally. This is where I'm at. I watch about 3 minutes of news a day. I get on Twitter and I'll run through my feed one time. I'm seeing what the president's saying. I'm seeing what the CDC's saying. I'm seeing what our local government's saying. And then I pray about it. And I make my decisions on how I'm going to govern my family, how I'm going to lead this church. But I'm giving the adversary, I'm giving the news of this world, maybe 10 minutes of my 24 hours. That other 23 hours and 50 minutes is filled with praise. It's filled with worship. It's filled with faith. It's filled with devotions. It's filled with media. It's filled with us making media. It's filled with family time. It's filled with me working. Why? Because I plan on making all of this turn for my favor, because I got a God that's working through me, for me, and with me. And so I want to encourage you, shut off all of the negativity. Spend some time with your family. Get to know your wife. She's a nice woman. Get to know those kids. They're amazing people. Take this time to work on you. Take this time to work on your marriage. Take this time to work on your family. Start that business. Get you an idea. Start preaching on social media. Start talking. God has given us this time, and we are going to turn it for His good. But I'm not going to spend any time in fear when faith is the option. Come on now. If fear was an option without faith, I might take it. But the fact that I can choose life or death, blessing or cursing, come on, Jesus, if you put faith on the table, why would I choose fear? If you put joy on the table, why would I choose depression? If you put healing on the table, why would I choose sickness? If you put, come on, love on the table, why would I choose division? I'm choosing what's going to take me through this and to that. In Jesus' name, you can do the same thing. Be anxious about it. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Very, very important to where we are. It says, don't take thought about tomorrow. For trouble is sufficient in this day. And that there's so much to concern ourselves with in this 24-hour period. There's no need for us to move that much forward. I love this. This is what God showed me. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because Jesus is already there. He's the Omega, the Alpha, and everything in between. Doesn't mean I don't save, doesn't mean I don't. But I'm not worried about tomorrow. What I'm concerned with today, does my family have enough? Got a roof over my head. Yeah, but Pastor, come April 15th, I'm not going to be able to pay that bill. That's April 15th. What about right now, March 29th? Let's talk about what you need. Sometimes we look at the bigness of something, sight, we focus our faith. And I'm going to tell you something that my high school principal tell me. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Some of us are looking at the elephants of life, the Goliaths of life. Let all of what's around us begin to affect our thinking. How am I going to make it December 31st? Let me tell you, baby, you need to be concerned with how you're going to make it to the end of March 29th. Us are way too fast forward into the what if scenario hardly ever plays out in your favor. Most of the things you worry about will never come to pass, which means that every moment you spend crying, worrying, and complaining about that thing that's not going to come to pass is time wasted. You could be faithing, worshiping, praying, and connecting with you. Fear nothing. Faith everything. In these moments, it's time for you to pray. Praise God. Draw Jesus. It's time for us to pray. Ever before. Well, I wish we could pray corporately. Start by yourself. You shouldn't pray corporately until we've prayed by ourselves. It's a moment for next. We're getting ready. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. We're ready to pray. I want to encourage you. Paul was in the prison when he wrote this incredible. Jump back in here for 7 and 8. Next. But I want to encourage. As faith arises in your heart, don't quit. And the moment you start watching something or hearing something that begins to affect your faith, turn it off. Walk away. Go into your bedroom and shut the door. Come on now. Some of that fear. I was talking to somebody a week ago today. Man, we had a great service, preached the first message of this series. I was fired up. I was ready to attack hell with a water pistol. I was ready to go. First phone call I get from a friend of mine. It's doom and gloom. I literally hung up the phone as quick as I could, less than 6 seconds. Why? Because I'm not going to allow what's being said out there to affect what God is doing in my life, in my heart, my spirit, my mind. You need to do that. God's got greatness. In the middle of all of this, God is still in control. He's speaking to you. He loves you. He's your strength. That moment right now that you need to exhale and rest in the Lord. It's amazing to me. Getting ready to pray for you. But it's amazing. I shared this with our team last night. That 6 months ago, I was hearing around our nation on social media, you hear it all the time, 6 months ago, man, I can't stand my job. I wish I could just go home. I need a vacation. I wish I could just get away from the world. I wish I could just stay home and watch Netflix. Now those same people 6 months later are saying, man, I wish I could get out of the house. There's only so much Netflix I can watch. I wish I could go to work. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. Meaning the devil has your number, and wherever you are, he's going to make you unhappy. He'll make you fearful. Make that spirit of dread on you. But I'm like Paul. You put me in a prison, I'm good because God's with me there. If you put me in front of the most powerful people on earth, like Paul was, he said, I'm happy there. I'm happy in front of a crowd. I'm happy by myself. Let me tell you something about me. I love media. I love the fact that we're reaching thousands upon thousands of people right now with this stream. I love that. But you know what I also love? I love tonight at 11 o'clock when my house gets real quiet and it's just me and God. I love wherever I am. They open everything up tomorrow. I'm going to love it. If it stays closed tomorrow, I'm going to love it. I'm going to make the most out of wherever God has me in this moment in time. Fear nothing. Faith everything. Live your life of praise, your life of worship, of prayer. I always want to give an opportunity, and I always have. I've been preaching now since I was 17 years old. 21 years later, I'm still preaching. Every time I've ever preached, I've given an opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus. It's the greatest yes you will ever make. Greatest decision you'll ever make is what you do with Jesus. If you're watching right now today and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never accepted him into your heart, into your life, as your Savior, I'm talking straight to you. But I know that with the number of people watching right now, that there are people that have said yes to God 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 40 years ago, that you haven't walked with God every day, that he's no longer number one in your life, and it's time that you rededicate your life to Christ. The Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that when we confess that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's our Savior, our Lord, that power of confession brings salvation into our life. We want to give you that opportunity right now. So if you don't know Jesus and you've never said yes to him, or perhaps it's time that you rededicate in the middle of the chaos. I know it might seem foolish sitting in your living room, wherever you're viewing, but I want you to lift your hands to heaven. That just means I surrender to you, Jesus. I let go of everything I have. I'm ready to receive everything that you have. And I'm ready to confess and make this proclamation of who you are in my life. As hands are lifted, we're going to pray this prayer with you. Repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I love you.